Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see some people tonight who I haven't seen for a while, and some regulars and some people who I don't know at all. But I think the Zendo can accommodate all of us, whether this is our first time sitting or nth time sitting, and no matter what our different backgrounds are, somehow the Zendo is a space that can accommodate all of it. Whatever your experience was sitting in the last period, the Zendo can accommodate that. On my way over here tonight, I was immersed in my thoughts, and all of a sudden someone said to me, "Hi, Shinryu," and it happened to be Ryuko here who was passing by, and all of a sudden, oof, that little bubble that I was in burst and I woke up again, just caught up in my thoughts, as so often the case. It reminded me of I've been thinking about something that happened to me 20 years ago that I actually still recall very vividly. I was riding in a taxi in La Paz in Bolivia, where I've spent a lot of time over the years. And I was sort of looking out the window, aware of what's going on, the traffic and the people, pedestrians, and but at the same time kind of in a state of absorption. And I thought about someone. In those days, we just started the Zen Center in Bolivia, and I thought about someone who was part of the group. His name was Guillermo. And then a minute later, staring out the cab, I saw Guillermo walking down the sidewalk. And I thought, oh, wow, that's great. What a nifty coincidence. I thought, that must be what Dogen's talking about when he says to think without thinking. I'd heard this expression and it seemed strange to me. But I thought, oh, that must be what it is, to think without thinking. Dogen has a text about Zazen, recommending Zazen to everyone, how to sit, posture, working with thoughts. And he says, the art of Zazen is to think without thinking. Mm-hmm. To think without thinking. So it was peculiar. Just in that moment, this thought of Guillermo bubbled up in my mind, unbidden, for no apparent reason. And then he was right there. And then I had the next thought, which was, oh, that's what Dogen's talking about. This is Hishuryo. So the first moment, the first thought was just a very spontaneous kind of perception. And the next thought was converting that into some kind of interpretation in the Zen language and some kind of analytical, more discursive kind of thing. One thought bubbles up, and then the next thought bubbles up. One kind of experience happens, and then the mind kicks in and starts to make sense of it. So I wanted to talk more about this issue in our practice, in our lives. Roshi discussed it last week in her Dharma talk in the context of the Platform Sutra, which is our study text in this Ango period. The teachings of the sixth Chinese patriarch Wei Neng. And one of the central teachings of the Platform Sutra is the teaching of no thought. So just following in Roshi's train of thought and teaching last week. Here's what the Platform Sutra says about no thought. No thought is not to think even when involved in thought. Not to think even when involved in thought. Successive thoughts do not stop. Prior thoughts, present thoughts, and future thoughts follow one after the other without cessation. If one instant of thought is cut off, the Dharma body separates from the physical body, and in the midst of successive thoughts, there will be no place for attachment to anything. In the midst of successive thoughts, there will be no place for attachment to anything. If one instant of thought clings, then successive thoughts cling. This is known as being fettered. If in all things successive thoughts do not cling, then you are unfettered. Therefore, non-abiding is made the basis. No thought. It's, I think, very easy to be misled about this. The sound of that. What is no thought? And Roshi talked about last week the trap of thinking that it means that you're just in a state of mental blankness. That's really not what Wei Nong is talking about, to be completely empty in your mind in the sense that you have no thoughts. If you're alive, it's almost impossible to have that. You might be catatonic or a zombie or brain dead or something, but hopefully that's not what we're doing here on our cushion. The point is not to have no consciousness. That's not our goal here. That's not what we're striving for. It's not really possible. The thoughts are not the problem in and of themselves. The other possible way to think about no thought that would be a mistake is mindlessness. So we all know what mindlessness is. I think that's what I was in when I was walking over here before I bumped into Ryuko. We're mindless when we just tune out and turn on the TV and completely escape, or open up a quart of Häagen-Dazs and just start gorging ourselves, or indulging in whatever your fantasy is, or your inner monologue that you may be having on the cushion during Zazen. It's like being caught up in this stream of thoughts, in that mind stream. It's like going inside the bubble and just staying there, and then being carried along inside that bubble. Somehow I think the cartoonists get it right when they show those little bubbles coming up from somebody's head. That's really what it's like. But we're trapped inside those bubbles so much of the time. Let's listen to the Platform Sutra again. Wei Nong says, to be unstained in all environments is called no thought. If on the basis of your own thoughts you separate from environment, then in regard to things, thoughts are not produced. If you stop thinking of the myriad things and cast aside all thoughts, as soon as one instant of thought is cut off, you will be reborn in another realm. Students, take care. Don't rest in objective things and the subjective mind. So here again, I think he's talking about not getting trapped in the bubble of thought, not getting trapped in any of the forms and phenomena that are constantly appearing in our midst. So it's maybe a way that it's Here at the Zendo, we often say, don't separate from your life, because your mind and your thoughts cause you to separate from what's really going on here and now. Be present to what's here and now. Don't separate. Wei Nong sort of puts it in a different way. We need to separate from our environment. We need to separate from that mind stream in order to wake up. So, but it's the same thing. If we're not trapped in the mind stream, then we can be completely present to our life right now. Someone told me yesterday, actually, so someone who I know who's used to work in construction and is a pretty political person. But he said when he was doing construction work, and he gave me an example of when his job was to just carry bricks, just to lug bricks all day long. He said, when I was doing that, I just couldn't think about politics at all, he said. Was it because he was exhausted from his work? Because he was mindlessly absorbed in what he was doing? Or maybe because the just full absorption in his physical activity meant that he just couldn't sustain any normal discursive analytical strain of thought, the kind of thought that we engage in when we're in political discussion. It's the kind of thing that I think Wei Nong would have been very familiar with. After all, Wei Nong, if you don't know his story, he was from a poor family. He was forced to earn a living by chopping wood and then carrying the firewood to the market and selling it there. So he was working, lugging firewood like my friend, lugging bricks. But the story of Wei Nong is that he was a very, very exceptional person. And we can imagine that day in and day out in his physical activity, Wei Nong was experiencing no thought. That was his natural state of mind as he was working away. Wei Nong was not tutored. He was illiterate. He had not studied Zen at all. And yet, we can imagine that kind of physical work that he was doing was like Zen study and Zen practice. So, in any case, he was quite ripe when one day he wandered into the market and one of his customers happened to be reciting the Diamond Sutra. And Wei Nong heard him recite one line, which says, raise an unsupported thought. And in that moment, Wei Nong had a sudden enlightenment. All of a sudden, everything dropped away. And he really, he had a kind of opening. Body and mind dropped away when he heard that line. But what a curious line, raise an unsupported thought. It doesn't say, don't raise any thoughts, cut off all thoughts, be blank. It was raise an unsupported thought. But I think that raise an unsupported thought, that line, which somehow was just what it took in that moment for him to suddenly see himself and see his life in the fullest possible terms. I think that raise an unsupported thought is really no different from the teaching of no thought that he expounded for years and years thereafter and that we've inherited from him in the Platform Sutra. That initial enlightenment experience was the ground for all of his later teaching. Raise an unsupported thought. The doctrine of no thought. But before he expounded the Platform Sutra, he went off to a monastery. He asked around and he heard that there was a great teacher, Daman Hungren. And so he went off to seek out Daman Hungren, who was the fifth Chinese ancestor. When he got to the monastery, Wei Nung, because he was illiterate, because he was a commoner, manual laborer, also not a monk, he hadn't ever ordained, he was a layman. He got sent off to do very humble work back in the rice hut. And he was there for months and months and months, just hulling rice for the rest of the monks to eat in the monastery. And we can imagine he gave himself over to that same kind of physical labor that he knew so well. And so his Zen experience and his Zen training really, in a way, was no different from his experience as a layman. And that hulling the rice became his meditation. And doing that practice, he really couldn't think of other things at all, like as the way my friend put it. When he was doing it, he couldn't think of anything else. Which doesn't mean that there weren't thoughts bubbling up for Wei Nung as he was out in the white rice shed, you know, milling away. Unsupported thoughts surely were bubbling up for Wei Nung. He must have been thinking without thinking, in other words. So if you know Wei Nung's story, you know about what happened next. The master asked all of the monks at the monastery to write a verse expressing their understanding of the teaching. And the head monk there wrote a poem which goes something like this. The body is a Bodhi tree, the mind a mirror stand. Constantly polish the surface so that no dust may collect. Constantly polish the surface so that no dust may collect. He's saying in a way that work hard, you monks, so that you can sweep away all of those thoughts that are constantly cropping up and obscuring the clear mirror of your mind. But Wei Nung happened to come across the verse, and since he couldn't read, someone translated it, read it for him. And he said, well, I see it a little differently. It's a nice verse, but maybe you could take down my own understanding of it. And he said something like, enlightenment is not a tree, and the bright mirror is not a stand. Essentially, there are no things. Where can the dust alight? So if the head monk was expressing the teaching of gradual enlightenment, Wei Nung here was expressing the teaching of sudden enlightenment. Ultimately, no thoughts have any substance whatsoever. And when we realize that, we can fully realize our true nature. So his own verse was pointing to the deep teaching of no mind, again, which is what we're reading about in the Platform Sutra. So in our practice, we often read about or hear about in Dharma talks, Buddha mind. We learn that mind is Buddha, as Master Ma Zhu put it. But after a while, after we get some insight into mind is Buddha. Then we hear there is no mind and no Buddha, which is also what Mazu taught. We can't attach to any concepts, to any ideals, no matter how grand or profound. We can't attach to any eternal, indestructible truths. As nice as it sounds to mind is Buddha, we have to get rid of even that notion if we really want to go deeper in our practice and see ourselves fully and completely in this moment. So if you're not attached to any forms or not attached to any thoughts, then what is there for you? Right now. Right now. If you just suddenly wake up, what is there? This is what Wei Nung is pointing to. And when thoughts arise for us right now, on their own, can you see that those thoughts are really unsupported? They have no lasting, essential substance. They're just bubbles bubbling up. One more short excerpt from the Platform Sutra. Wei Nung quotes another sutra, the Vimalakirti Sutra, which says, externally, while distinguishing well all the forms of the various dharma, all the phenomena, internally he or she stands firm within the first principle. While distinguishing well all the forms of the various dharmas, all the phenomena, internally he or she stands firm within the first principle. So our problem is not that there are the bubbles that arise. It's that we latch onto them. We climb inside them, if you will, and then go along for the ride. So I is one bubble, and you is another bubble, and Wei Nung is a bubble, and Buddhism is a bubble. New York is a bubble. The United States is a bubble. Bubble, bubble, bubble. I think that our meditation, our zazen, is kind of like being a big body of water, a pool, maybe an ocean, in which all sorts of currents and turbulence can go flowing through. And all sorts of thoughts can bubble up unbidden for whatever reason. We don't really know the causes. Sometimes the thoughts are pleasant. Sometimes they're disturbing. Sometimes they are very lovely. Sometimes painful. Sometimes they last for a long time. Sometimes they're gone in a flash. Sometimes that mind stream is very active, and sometimes it's very calm. But the big body of water is not really changed in its nature by those passing bubbles. The big body of water is able to hold all the streams within it and contain them. It doesn't try to detain or block certain bubbles, and to admire or pursue other bubbles. They just form, and they rise, and they surface, and they dissipate again and again and again. So We could imagine an underwater world in all of its rich and complex ecology, all of its marvelous, with all of its marvelous creatures and its scary creatures and its monsters. And that underworld has its different colors and shades and lights and shadows, its changing temperatures, its changing air pressure at its different levels below the surface. We can imagine it has its different mineral formations and coral formations, a single branch or maybe a giant reef in their different hues. And it has tiny forms of life, plankton, algae, grasses, kelp, just floating and shifting in the currents. It has its barnacles fixed to the rocks, maybe crabs scuttling about. It has minnows swimming about in schools, or a lone shark swimming about. Seals, whales, gigantic and minuscule creatures. If it sounds a little too nice, we could throw in all sorts of other ingredients. Industrial nets sweeping up fishes within their clutches, or oil rigs mining down beneath the surface and releasing, leaking, spilling oil into the sea that's killing off forms of life, covering over all sorts of forms of life, toxic pollutants from the ships passing through, or nuclear waste being released into the water, submarines carrying warheads also sailing through amidst all of those, that underwater world. And throughout it all, those bubbles, those streams of bubbles just coming up constantly. I think it all, this whole image could serve in a way as an image of Zazen. Our Zazen is not to be just one bubble or just one creature. Our Zazen is to be like that whole body of water which can contain everything within it, all of the creatures, all the maniform forms of life, and all of the bubbles that are constantly percolating up. And I think that that same image of that incredibly vast world is also constantly alive world, is also an image that could be, we could take for what Wei Nung is calling no mind. Can we see our Zazen and our practice with that same kind of scope, with that same kind of all-encompassing space? Here on the cushion, and to take that same kind of awareness that Wei Nung calls no thought out of the Zendo tonight and into the streets and into our homes. Thank you.